It's sure good to see you all this morning. You glad to be here?
Yeah.
I'm sure glad to see you. Hope you've had a good week. I always say, at least I often say, I don't think you're here by accident. I think you're here by divine appointment. I really believe that. And not that we're any more special than any other church, but I'm glad that you're here in this church this morning to worship the Lord. It's a beautiful day. I suppose there are options. You could be doing something else. But you have chosen to come worship the Lord today, and I'm grateful for that. Let me say this, for those of you that weren't here last week, I've started a series called Hell is No Joke. And for those of you that didn't hear last week, let me say, I'm nobody's judge, but I am here to sound the alarm. Hell is real. Hell is coming if we don't make preparations for heaven. And so when I speak to you today from the Word of God about Hell is No Joke, Part 2, it's not with judgment. It's with concern. It's not with condemnation, it's with alarm and awareness more than anything else. Let me give you an example. How many of you saw the devastation in Wadena when the F5 tornado hit a couple summers ago? How many of you were there and saw it firsthand? I did too. I was there the next day helping clean up a pastor's home or what was left of it. And as I looked across the street, as we carried things out of his home, the end of his home was blown out completely. It was gone. It was wide open. And we look out across the street, and there was houses. It was incredible. But one might be perfectly intact, and the next one missing everything from the second floor up. The next one missing a roof. Trees laying everywhere. It was utter chaos. Okay, so some of you were there, some of you saw it, some of you are very aware of what tornadoes can do. Here's my point. What if we're enjoying a good summer day? What if it's the 4th of July weekend or whatever else, but we're enjoying a good summer day? We're enjoying life. We're just kind of going through life, and we're enjoying it, and we're getting along okay. And let's just say now we're in Motley, because that's where we're sitting here today. And we're enjoying this day, and out of the clear blue, the clouds begin to boil, as you've seen them do. And there's another F5 tornado coming, but nobody tells you anything about it. You see, they had warning signs there. They had sirens, and they had meteorologists, and they had warnings. And not one life was lost. They got to their basements, and they got in places where they didn't have a basement. They got in a safe in one case, and when they came out of the safe, the building was gone. The safe was still there. Well, okay, so here's my point. What if the tornado is now bearing down on Motley and nobody told you a thing about it? The F5 hits us, wipes us out, wipes out most of the town, churches, factories, wipes out your family, wipes out some of us. How would you feel if nobody warned you about that? You'd say, like I would say, where's the warning? Where's the sirens that go off the first Monday at 1 o'clock of every month? Why didn't it go off? Where's the weatherman? Where's the so-called experts that know about F5 tornadoes? Why didn't somebody tell us something? That's how we'd feel, isn't it? And hell's the same way. You see, friends, I'm just a simple old guy that happens to believe in the Word of God and happens to have a deep, deep concern for your eternal destination. Mine too. My family's, my neighbors, my friends. I just happen to have a very deep concern for our eternal destination. And so today when I talk about hell just for a little while, it's simply a sounding of the alarm, a ringing of the bell. like we would hope the tornado sirens would do when it's coming, devastation is coming, we would hope they'd go off and we'd seek shelter, we'd seek safety, we'd do something to make the outcome different. That's all I'm doing this morning. Last week when we were talking about the story that Jesus told in Luke 16, we realized the reality of hell. One moment, according to Luke 16, you can read that story in the middle of that chapter. One moment after the rich man closed his eyes in death, he found himself in Hades. And I gave the definition of Hades and Sheol and Gehenna and all that kind of stuff. We won't go through that today. But we learn from that story that one moment after he closed his eyes in death, because he really didn't take any time for God, one moment after he closed his eyes in death, he found himself in Hades, very conscious, very much alive, and very much in torment. He said it. It's a story of Jesus, so I value it very highly and take it as true. And we learned that not only was he conscious of his own agony in one of the beggar that sat at his table or sat below his table in the earthly scenario, not only did he want him to bring one drop of water on the tip of his tongue to cool him, to give him some kind of relief, not only did he want that kind of relief, he wanted somebody to go back and tell his brothers, make a decision about eternity before you end up here like I am. You remember the story? Very much aware of his surroundings. And it's too late. It's too late. I was reading a Barna survey a while back, and I mentioned something to you last week, but I found out these results since. 70% of those polled in the Barna survey said, I believe there is a real hell. 30% say, nah, there ain't no hell. Now, I don't believe that. 30% may not seem like a big figure, but when you multiply that out in America today, that's 100 million people say there is no hell. But here's what really stuck in my mind when I read that statistic. When it came to answering the question, will you end up in hell? 2% said, yeah, I'm probably going to end up there. Probably am. The rest of them said, no way. I'm a pretty good person. I didn't kill anybody. Been pretty good to my neighbor. Only 2% said, yes, I probably will end up there. And so why am I talking about this uncomfortable topic again today? Because hell is real, friends. Hell is eternal. And once we close our eyes in death outside of Jesus, when we open them again a moment later in the scope of eternity, the only thing we're going to know from then on and all of eternity is the torment of Hades / hell. You say, Jim, that's a little judgmental. That's what the Word of God says. And I'm here to raise the red flag and sound the alarm and say hell is real and it's coming. Make preparations. That's why I'm talking about it. It's like a tsunami. It's like the F5 tornado coming. It's coming and it's going to be utter devastation. And people are going to be caught unaware, just like Jesus said at the end times. People will be unaware. They'll be marrying, and they'll be eating, and they'll be drinking, and they'll be going about life just like they do. And every day, and boom, the end is going to be over. I close my eyes in death. And if I haven't made reservations in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, it's too late. That's why I talk about it. It was Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That said in Matthew 5:13, enter in at the narrow gate. It was Jesus himself that said this. Not Jim, I'm just reading what Jesus said. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Jesus said, very few are finding the gate. Jesus also said later in the Gospel of John, he happens to be the gate. He also said in John, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Remember that? Nobody comes to the Father but through him. And Jesus is the one that said this road is broad that leads to destruction. This gate is wide, and there's a whole lot of folks on it. And so I'm just here to tell us today, friends, get off the broad road and get on the narrow road and get into the narrow gate of Jesus and have eternity in mind, have heaven in view. Because if we don't make preparations for eternity with Jesus, eternity will come. We'll close our eyes in death, and it can come at a moment's notice, and it'll be too late. So oftentimes people say, well, I don't buy it, preacher. I don't buy this God that you say is so good would send people to that horrible place. Let me just give us a little insight here. Remember the fall? Who knows what the fall means? Garden of Eden? Work with me here. You're smarter than that. Who knows what the fall means? Human beings fell away from God when Adam and Eve took of the fruit, okay? We're aware of the fall, right? When Adam and Eve took of the fruit, and you say, I'd have never done that. Yeah, we would have. We do it every day. Little white lie, little lust after this, little coveting after that. We do the same thing every day. But back here at the fall in the Garden of Eden, when God had made people perfect and sinless and a place perfect and sinless, enter in the demon, the adversary called the devil, and you know what happened, you know the story. We call that the fall, capital F. It was a big deal. And because of the fall, brothers and sisters, we are on the wrong road. We are on the broad way to destruction. Because of the fall, we are automatically on the broad road. You remember Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Remember that? We learned those verses early. And then we remember Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. That death means eternal separation from God. For all have sinned, so we're all on the broad road until we get off of it. And so this argument about what, well, God this and God that, and God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that, we're already on the broad road until we get off of it. And so, humanity is on the broad road to destruction already, not because God did something wrong. Because we did. The fall, the Garden of Eden, sin in our lives. We're already on the broad road. And that broad road leads to destruction until and unless we get off of it. And I'm just so thankful this morning that God in His goodness, God in His grace, God in His mercy, God in His willingness to forgive has given us a way to get off the broad road. Amen? He sent His Son, Jesus. He has given us an opportunity to get off the broad road that leads to destruction and get on the narrow that leads to life. His name, the way to get off the broad onto the narrow is Jesus. And I'm so thankful that God has given us that opportunity to get off the broad road. But we have to choose, friends. We have to choose. Remember the five brothers of the rich man last week that Luke 16 told us? The rich man wanted somebody to go back and give them a chance to choose not to come to hell. We got to choose. The grace of God is available no matter how bad I used to be. But we've got to choose to follow Jesus. We've got to choose to repent of our sin and believe that He is the Son of God, and He died on that cross, and receive Him as Lord. We've got to choose. Dear friend of mine, several years ago, he's gone now. I love this quote of his. Oftentimes he would say to me, Jim, no choice is a choice for eternity. Are you hearing me this morning? No choice to get off of the broad road, no choice about Jesus, repenting of sin and receiving Christ as Lord is a choice for eternity. And my good buddy Everett would often say, Jim, no choice is a choice. Because if we don't choose Jesus, it's a choice for eternity. Remember the rich man? I don't know. He must not have had much time for God. Maybe he was too busy counting his riches. I don't know. But I know this, When he closed his eyes in death, according to the story of Jesus, he was in eternity apart from God forever. Too late. Let me just say this before I get to a couple pieces of scripture. We do not get a get out of hell pass for being rich. That's what happened last week. Did you remember the story? In the culture of the time, everybody assumed, well, they're rich, they're blessed by God, they're good to go. We do not get a get out of hell pass because we're rich. We do not get a get out of hell pass because I haven't killed anybody. We do not get a get out of hell pass because I went to church a couple times or even became a member or even got baptized one day. We get a get out of hell pass forever because of the shed blood of Jesus and our faith and surrender to Him as Lord. That's how we get a get out of hell pass. Jesus. Not just an arbitrary head knowledge. Well, I think He's real, Jim. I believe in God. But a repenting of sin. A confessing we need a Savior. A believing He is who He said He was. A receiving Him as Lord. That's how we get off that broad road that leads to destruction and get on the narrow one that leads to eternal life with Him. I say, praise God, we have an opportunity to get off. Jesus had a lot to say about hell. As a matter of fact, in the four Gospels, there are 46 verses that Jesus references hell. And so I'm just going to look at a couple. Then we're going to wrap it up here in a couple minutes. Matthew 10:28. Jesus is talking to His disciples about persecution. Okay? He's telling them, when you follow Me, there could be tough times ahead. All you have to do today, brothers and sisters, is pick up a Voice of the Martyrs of the magazine, listen to Christian radio, find out about some of the happenings in the Middle East, North Korea, China, Indonesia, Colombia, Africa, all over the world. Christians are dying because they're Christians. That's all, just because they're Christians. And Jesus said, there'll be tough times ahead, Christians, for some of you. There'll be tough times ahead. And so He's talking to His disciples about persecution, and He said to them, but don't fear those who can kill your body, because some of you will die, just like the disciples, all of them at John, they died, you know the stories. But Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him, capital H, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus said, don't worry about if they take your life here on earth. If you put Me first, you surrender to Me as Lord, they can't touch you for eternity. But He said, if you never get right with God, then fear Him who calls those shots on Judgment Day because of our decisions or lack thereof. And in Matthew 23:31, if you know anything about Matthew 23, you know that's the chapter that Jesus was getting after the Pharisees. Call them hypocrites. Call them snakes. Call them vipers. And in Matthew 23:31-33, Jesus is concluding with these religious leaders. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murder the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? And I just bring these out as a couple of examples. Jesus spoke about hell a lot. 46 times in the four Gospels. And in Matthew 5, that's the Sermon on the Mount that I was referring to, verses 29 and 30, He's talking about something with that great crowd of people that were around Him that day. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. Cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And further, He said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. What He's simply saying to them is take drastic measures to get sin out of your life. Because if we don't take drastic measures to address, repent of, and and eliminate the sin in our lives, he said, it's better for you that part of that, your livelihood, your hand, your eye, or whatever else, isn't part of you, than your whole body to be cast into hell. He talks about hell a lot. And so I'm simply here today to talk to us about the tsunami, the F5 tornado that is coming. I'm simply here to sound the alarm, friends. I know that talking about hell is offensive to people. I know that. And I know from personal experience, my own, and getting plenty of feedback, that we'd rather just go to church and come away feeling good. We've heard some stories, so we got that checked off the list. Let's head her on home. I know that. I get that. But if I'm the meteorologist and I have told you nothing about the tsunami coming, if I'm the meteorologist and I've told you nothing about the F5, I have not done what I'm called to do. I know it's uncomfortable to talk about hell, but hell is real. Jesus wouldn't have talked about it so much if it wasn't. And as I told a lot of you before, I'd rather have you upset with me now for talking about hell and asking you, have you really surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord? I'd rather have you upset with me today than standing there someday on Judgment Day and looking back and say, preacher, why didn't you tell me about hell? Why didn't you tell me the reality of hell? And so I'm here today to sound the alarm. It's real, friends, and it's coming. And we're all on that broad road. You say, Jim, I haven't been a bad person. I've heard that 100 times. I've heard it 200 times. Praise God for that. But we're all on the broad road until we get off by faith in Jesus Christ. We're all on the broad road that leads to destruction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jim, you say, Jim, I ain't that bad of a sinner. Remember what Revelation 20 or 21 says? All liars will find their place in the lake of fire. You ever told a little white lie? We're all sinners, and we got to get off the broad road. And Jesus is the only way off. And so I'm here today to sound the alarm. And I'm here today to tell you in closing that nobody but the devil... Jesus said this. Let me just tell you this, because I think you know it already. Jesus said this. The lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible says. It wasn't prepared for human beings. But if we never choose to get off the broad road, we're going to walk right into it. Nobody but the devil has to be in hell. We get a choice. We get to choose Jesus and get off that road. I love what the Bible says when Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody there. And I love what Paul said to Timothy when he said Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And further in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, he's talking about God our Savior. He says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the heart of God. That he doesn't want anybody going to hell, but if we don't choose Jesus, we're going to walk the broad road right into it. Do you hear? Do you see the heart of God, friends? Not willing that any should perish. You know the heart of God if you only know one verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever means whosoever. We don't have to stay on the broad road. Nobody does. And further, I like what he said. Jesus said the very next verse in John 3:17 when he said, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, that's us and everybody else, might be saved. The heart of God is that nobody should go there. But if we don't choose Christ, we don't choose to get off the broad road, we're going to walk the broad road right into eternal separation from God. I know that sometimes we think, well, people, yeah, you're probably right, Jim. There's probably a few folks that are probably going to end up in hell. The Hitlers of the world, the Stalins, maybe the Saddam Husseins, these clowns called ISIS. murderous, bloodthirsty, butchering, crucifying, terrible people. And unless they repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord, that's where they will go. I'm not the judge, but that's what the Bible says. Unless we repent and receive Christ as Lord, that's where they will go. But let me just say this too, friends. And so will good men and women sitting in church. If we don't surrender, if we don't repent and believe in and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we never got off the broad road. So will people go into church. You say, Jim, I don't buy it. Well, Matthew 7, 21 and 22 spells it out pretty clear for us. When Jesus said, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but him that does the will of my Father who's in heaven. In the very next verse, he says this. Many will say to me, these are the words of Jesus, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many works in your name? And then I, Jesus, says, Matthew 7, 23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These are the people that will stand at judgment day and say, yeah, but God, I was in church. Yeah, but God, I became a member. Yeah, but God, I got baptized. Yeah, but God, I was good to my neighbor. These are the people, Jesus said, that never got off the wide path because they never repented of sin. They never believed he's the Savior of the world and received him. Going to stand at judgment day and argue with the God of heaven, say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, and it's too late. It's too late. And so, yes, people like Stalin's and Hitler's and those kind of ISIS murdering people will be there unless they repent. They will walk the broad road to hell. But so will people who had good intentions and never got off the broad road. So will people that sat in church their whole lives and never repented of sin and received Christ as Lord. And so I simply ask us today, friends, when life runs out, whether it's 50 years from now for you or 50 minutes, and you close your eyes in death, what's the next thing you're going to see? You're going to be like the rich man? He thought he had it made. Got a lot of riches, things going okay. He closed his eyes in death, and when he opened them again, he was in the eternal separation from God, never to be changed from that destination, never to change locations. And I simply ask us today in closing, friends, where's it going to be? We have to choose to get off the broad road, and that choice is repent of our sin, believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world, and receive him as our Lord. It's that simple. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is gifts of God, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. We can't work our way there. We can't be members of enough churches. We can't be baptized enough time. It's the grace of God in your faith and what he's done for you in sending his son. That's getting off the broad road, getting on the narrow road to life eternal. We can fool some people some of the time, but we're not fooling God. He knows our hearts, you see. He knew my heart when I went to church and didn't really know him. He knows other people's hearts that go to church and really don't know him. Know about him, but really don't know him. He knew the heart of the rich man. He knows our hearts, and someday we will have to give account. And so if you're here today while we're singing this last song, if you're here today and you say, Jim, I'm really not sure, then get right with God. Repent of all known sin. Repent. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. And receive him as Lord before it's too late. If you want help with that, then I'll pray with you. Richard will pray with you. But don't let another day go by if you haven't been born again. Jesus said, unless you've been born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a spiritual transformation. It's a spiritual thing. And unless we've been born again, Jesus said, we'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Don't let another day go by, friends. If you're not right with God, while we're singing this song, you and He, just you and the Lord, just pray, get right with Him. Repent, believe, and receive Jesus as Lord. If you want to pray at the altar, pray at the altar. If you want to pray where you're at, pray where you're at. If you want me or Richard to help you, we'll be glad to. But don't delay. Eternity is a long time. And once we close our eyes in death outside of Jesus, we're going to eternity forever. That's what Jesus said. There's a great gulf between Hades and the bosom of Abraham. We saw that in Luke 16. There's no going back and forth. There's no changing. Once we close our eyes in death, if we haven't decided about Jesus, it's too late. It's too late. Tsunami, F5 tornado. Don't let it destroy you forever. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let's close in prayer. But I want to ask you today, do you know that you know? Today was it. You're going to be with Jesus forever because of what He has done. Because if you don't know that you know, just whisper this prayer to the Lord. He knows your heart. Whisper this prayer, Father God, forgive me. I need you. I believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for me. I receive Him as Lord. By faith, I receive Him as Lord. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Take control. Guide me. Forgive me. Save me and heal me. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for each and every person here today. I thank You, Heavenly Father, that You're at work in our hearts. You're giving us warnings. You're helping us to understand the Word of God is true. Heaven is real, but so is hell. And heaven is available to every one of us who will repent and believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, whatever our hearts are today, whatever our spiritual case is, will You keep speaking to us? Will You keep drawing us? Will You help us to make that step of faith and be saved by Your grace? Will You help us get off that broad road if we're still on it? And help us get right with You by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Thank You for each and every one here, Lord. Go with them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Heal them. And set them free. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.